DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
New figures given to the Irish Independent show that county councils around the country paid €54 million in compensation for public liability claims for the year 2023. This figure is a 31% increase from the previous year, and the majority of the wards were due to falls and accidents on public footpaths. I'm joined by the CEO of the Alliance for Insurance Reform, Brian Hanley. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, looking at these figures, can you make sense of them? So many claims, obviously in the cities and the larger population areas, the claims are higher, at 19 million in Dublin City Council's area, for example. But can you explain how so many people are tripping and falling and being compensated for that?
Well, it certainly is. When you see a headline figure of a 30% increase in claim volumes in 12 months, it's little wonder people would be concerned about it. That said, I think Amy Malloy's article also suggests that maybe the increase is partly due to a COVID backlog of cases, maybe that needed to be settled and made their way through the system last year. Because overall, claim volumes have actually come down by about 35% between 2019 and 2023. And it's hard to think of reasons why local authorities would be an outlier.
Well, except that they might be seen as an easy touch, a soft touch.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, challenging suspect fraudulent or exaggerated claims is a vital issue because it impacts us all. These aren't victimless pursuits. You know, and monies paid to these people has to come from somewhere, which is invariably policyholders in the form of increased premiums. And I think you're right. I think we need to challenge those types of cases. As the article, you know, there was a number of cases there where people were unsuccessful bringing claims because there is, and it nearly sounds old fashioned now, but there is such a thing as an accident. And when somebody does hurt themselves, it isn't always somebody else's fault, and there isn't somebody else to blame or indeed to claim against. And I think it's really important that insurers don't settle suspect claims, because to do so is really short-term thinking. It sends out the wrong message, and we all end up paying for it over time.
Now, do we know, maybe you can tell me this, do the councils insure themselves for this kind of thing, or do they actually have policies?
So there's a collective, they're all insured by one organisation that they all part own. And so they all essentially own that underwriter.
So they insure themselves, basically?
They do, they're self-insured. Yeah,
so it comes out of their revenue from the rates and from the property tax and so on. So basically it comes from the punters.
It absolutely comes from us. I thought one of the interesting things to note, though, you know, as disappointing as a 30% increase was, I did note in the figures that whilst, you know, the volume of claims went up by a third, the overall cost of settling them went up by half that. And I think perhaps that's because the personal injury guidelines were being used to settle some of those cases. And the guidelines, as you know, were introduced in 2021 to provide greater certainty and maybe more specificity to ensure that the actual injury and the award are better matched. And we know that when they're used, that the awards hand given out have come down by a third.
Now, what is the defence that a council might offer when someone says, I tripped on a pavement that wasn't properly prepared or repaired? Is it the case that if it has not been brought to their attention, that there is no liability?
Well, I think that what we had was the introduction of a piece of legislation last year around the duty of care for occupiers, or in this case, the council and the property and premises they're responsible for, essentially kind of codifying what Superior Court judgments would have said, that people are required to take, in a fair and proportionate way, greater responsibility for their own welfare when they're out and about. You know, I think a good example of that would be when, you know, if I'm coming out of the shops and I want to head down to my car and it's down an embankment, but if I choose not to take the steps that are provided and go down the grassy embankment and fall, well, it wouldn't be fair, reasonable or proportionate to then be successful in a claim against the proprietor of the business. You know, we all have a certain degree of responsibility for ourselves when we're out and about. And so I think that, you know, what we're seeing in some of the High Court cases mentioned in today's article is that there are such things as accidents, and people have a responsibility to look out for themselves when they're out and about. That isn't to say, obviously, if there is negligence by somebody and somebody's injured by it, that they wouldn't be compensated. But I think it's an important message that we are responsible for ourselves when we're out and about to exercise a reasonable and proportionate degree of care.
But are councils obliged to maintain all of their property, you know, the footpaths and the roads and so on, in such a condition that harm will come to nobody, be they someone with a disability, maybe a visual impairment, or someone who's wheeling a buggy, or someone who's on crutches, or whatever it might be, someone in a wheelchair? Do they have an obligation in law to actually have a pristine offering?
I don't think that there's a requirement to have a pristine offering, but I do think that they certainly couldn't have anything that would be potentially hazardous to people that they might reasonably foresee would be using the footpath or the road or whatever the case may be. I don't think there's a requirement that it be pristine, but I certainly think they couldn't have, you know, known hazards that might potentially injure somebody that they would expect to be using the footpath or the road or things like that.
Now, obviously, people who are visually impaired, there are all sorts of hazards, and it could be as simple as walking in dog poo, and the councils, you know, are supposed to fine people and so on. But it can also be low-hanging branches from maybe an ordinary person's garden. Who's liable in a situation like that if a blind person is to crash into a low-hanging bough coming from someone's private garden?
Pat, truth be told, I couldn't actually tell you the answer to that question now in terms of who would be responsible for it. As you say, if it's coming from somebody's private property as opposed to, you know, being on the public road,
you're walking on the public road and the branch of the tree impedes. You don't know it, but a person on a bike or whatever would avoid it, but someone who's visually impaired would not see it and crash into it. Would it come from the householder's own insurance and their public liability policy, or would the council have to fork out?
My expectation in cases like that, Pat, is that both would be joined in the action, and it would be a matter then, I think, for the insurers and or through a process of litigation to then resolve it. But I would think that both would be joined in an action at the LSS, and it would go from there. Because there's no doubt that there are those types of issues out there. But at the same time, we all know of cases and hear of people that have multiple claims. You know, I mean, that to be unfortunate enough to maybe have had 12 successful personal injury claims over a period of time. And it's those types of cases that we really need to take a firm view on. And I think the courts have. We have seen a number of cases now going through the courts recently. Indeed, we've seen people imprisoned by the courts for bringing fraudulent claims. Yeah. And I think that's appropriate, because these things come at a very significant cost, not just financial, but there can be a loss of amenity in terms of, you know, we're not allowed to do that anymore because we've had a claim on it before. And we all know stories like that. So I think it's really important we send out that message, because overall as well. Sorry, Pat.
No, I was going to ask you. We read nowadays in our newspapers regularly about cases that fall in court because CCTV has become available of someone who claims to have been mortally injured and in fact is sound in wind and limb. And I'm wondering to what extent the councils use CCTV to have a look at trips and so on and go all the way and fight people in court. Because there's one thing that is a deterrent. It's the prospect of not alone losing in court, but having to pay the costs of the other side.
I absolutely agree. And we have seen an increase in the number of last-minute withdrawals of claims. And I think it's really important that costs are fairly addressed in those circumstances. Because it would be unfair if somebody was challenging the claim to end up footing their own bill. There has to be some incentive. We need to encourage insurance companies, including the councils, insure to properly resource their fraud detection and prevention units so that they're in a position to review CCTV, which is ubiquitous now, and you'd imagine could be used in many cases, so they don't settle in the short term, but they actually properly resource those offices and those units within their insurer to tackle those cases on our behalf.
Sorry, Brian, are you still there?
Yes, we
lost you there for just a millisecond. I'm wondering about a few other things that people come across regularly and where the responsibility lies. A skip on the side of the road, sometimes on the pavement, which is certainly illegal, but sometimes just outside somebody's house, may not be properly illuminated with reflectors or with any kind of warnings. Who's responsible? Is it the skip provider? Is it the builder who's ordered the skip? Is it the householder for whom the builder's working?
It's no surprise that when I see central bank data coming out that 70% of cases are settled via litigation, it's because matters like this arise where there can be multiple parties involved that all might share in a degree of responsibility in terms of, like, if the skip or the product itself wasn't up to standard, that's an issue. But also who placed it and where was it placed, and so on. So it these things very much tend to fall on their individual facts.
And equally, those who are responsible for repairing utility, be it gas, electricity, water mains, or whatever, and they leave a site untended, a hole in the road, to put it simply, and someone falls in, do you go after the utility or do you go after the council?
Well, again, you'd have thought, Pat, that they have created the hazard. In terms, you know, if they have opened up a hole in the ground and left it without properly being cordoned off, you'd imagine that there would be a high degree of culpability in those circumstances where you've created the hazard for somebody else and they've been then injured because of it.
Now, I'll read you some of the comments coming in. Why are those who bring false claims not fined and named? There have to be consequences for such people. Another one, some of these claims must be because the Greens are pouring money into cycle lanes and greenways instead of repairing roads and paths. Fermoy in County Cork is a prime example. The main street looks like a war zone. That's from Noel. Why do we still have this antiquated system of personal injury claims? You can't get these high compensation claims anywhere else in the EU. Perhaps you'd like to comment on that one, Brian.
Yeah, well, I think there's no doubt that you know, we're coming from a time where the size of awards and the volume of claims was far too high. Now, what we have had in the last number of years has been a whole of government approach to addressing insurance. We've seen the introduction of the guidelines, which, as I said earlier, have seen reductions in the size of awards by a third. We know there's the establishment of a Garda Insurance Fraud Coordination Office to help address and tackle suspected fraudulent claims. But of course, they can only investigate what's reported to them. So that's why I think it's so important they are reported.
But the question of in Europe, I mean, I see some of the footpaths in some towns in various continental countries, and they are hazardous, to say the least. But, you know, were those hazards to result in an expected number of trips and claims, they'd be broke trying to pay the kind of monies that we pay out.
They certainly would. And I've walked on some of those cobblestones and often asked myself the same question, whether we'd be able to have something here. But I think the culture does need to shift. And I think it's really important that we do see more cases coming to the courts and being reported in the papers, that it sends out the message that it isn't acceptable, that unfair claims do hurt everybody. And I would hope that there'd be a societal shift such that, like, making a fraudulent or vexatious claim becomes as socially unacceptable as smoking indoors. You know, I mean, that's where we need to get to with this, because it does, you know, it's not a free pass to get a few grand and don't worry about it. Sure, it's just the insurer. It's you, I, and all your listeners that are paying for those.
I'll read you some more of the comments in conclusion. A while ago, I attempted to report online loose paving on a Dublin 2 side street. The process was quite clunky and I gave up and sent an email in instead. If it were possible to access an app or a website option to simply input the location on the issue, some of these accidents could be prevented. Philip says, I have a shop in Dublin. Last week, an elderly man on a walking stick got his stick caught in the footpath, sustained a fractured hip. He's in his 80s. Now he's ended up in a home near Beaumont Hospital for a minimum of 6 weeks. Surely it would cost less to repair the footpath than pay the medical expenses for this man. This year, we've had a woman break her pelvis, a woman break her wrist, and two shoulder injuries, all because we can't get the footpaths repaired. It's madness. I'm 4 years reporting moss on footpaths to my local authority and they say they have no budget to maintain them. I have fallen and so has my son who fell off his bike. At what stage will they maintain the footpaths? Should they not have a duty of care to the user? Well, I wonder, is this moss just outside your house? Because sometimes it's quicker to do it yourself. Get a bit of moss killer and spread it. My mother had a fall outside her house and broke her ankle. This was after she'd reported the state of the path 5 times. Councils are responsible for the upkeep of the path and the roads. The path has still not been repaired 2 years after the accident. and lots more where that came from, I can tell you. That's Brian Hanley, CEO of the Alliance for Insurance Reform. Brian, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.